Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Us to this man, Dave Fleming, who joins us now on the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Our 95.7 The Game Giants insider and voice for the team. Dave, good morning. Well, there's been a lot to talk about with the orange and black all season long, and unfortunately, their playoff hopes came to an end last night, and it was because of a position that ultimately they sold on at the deadline. Whether it was Camilo Duvall, Rodgers, you had the loss of Randy Rodriguez. And it kind of summed up the season they've been having in a tough loss to the Cardinals.
Yeah, and it's too bad that, it sort of has ended this way. I think those two trades that they made were good trades. I mean, I think the Giants ended up having a good trade deadline. I think they were realistic about how they were playing at the time. Now, you know, they got hot again. And that's kind of the story of the year. Like, I can't ever remember a more schizophrenic year where the Giants were great and terrible, just back and forth. There was no middle ground for this Giants team. So I think, you know, in a way, it sort of is a perfect encapsulation of how the season's been. It's disappointing when you lose a lead like last night. The bullpen has obviously hit a wall. And I hope it actually doesn't, you know, some of those guys who don't have much of a track record, at least as a reliever, have done a really nice job and have put themselves in the mix here. And whether they've just been pushed a little hard, the starting pitching obviously has not been able to carry as big of a load as the season's gone on. That's been part of the reason why those things always work in conjunction. Those things always work together. That's been part of the reason why the relievers haven't been as effective. But, you know, the story of this season is going to be a complicated one, and we're going to have to take some time to sort of figure out exactly what we think about what happened. But
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, the goal was playoffs, otherwise disappointment, so we're all disappointed.
I think that's well said. You know, Lucchese and Bivens have given their heart to the – like, they've been giving their heart out there. I'm not mad at them at all. I know a lot of people have, like, used them and crushed them at times as these scapegoats, and I think it's so unfair. These guys have taken the ball in so many crummy spots and giving you the best that they've had. That being said, you're talking about, like, how are you going to view this year? I'm trying to take a step back. I'm trying to show some perspective. And I'll get to my frustration specifically from last night, Dave. But I actually think this was a really big year for the Giants in a good way. Like, I wanted to make the playoffs. I'm frustrated. I'm disappointed. You know, I think they had an opportunity. But if I take a step back and I think about where they were the last couple years, where they are today, and where they could be moving forward, There are a lot of building blocks. Adames, Devers, you know, Ramos having a bounce back here, you know, this year. I still have questions defensively and whatnot. Jungkook Lee, his second half. Obviously, Webb and Ray. And there's a lot to love about where they're at right now. And they still have a long way to go. I still think it was a really productive building block year for this team, even though there are big questions that remain. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, I do. I think there's no question in my mind, and you can extend it down even to the guys who are sort of fringe major leaguers, like the depth on this team. I don't think there's any doubt that this is a more talented roster today than when you and I talked 1 year ago today. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So ultimately, that's what you're trying to do. Like, you're trying to, over time, every step, every move that you make makes you a more talented team. And I think the Giants have accomplished that. Now, why didn't that end up in better on-field results? You know, that's probably a complicated answer. But I think they are in a better place right now than they were. They're going to have to really think hard about how do we not just complement that core, those guys you just rattled off, but make the group better around it? What kind of defensive team do we want to have? Like, I think there's some still big questions to be answered, but they're in a better place than they were.
All right, so now brings me to my frustration from last night. Bryce Eldridge is not just any player. He's not just any kid. Like, this is someone that you have really high hopes for, and I just see it across sports. People say they want to see the young guy, and then the young guy starts to struggle a little, and then they have very little tolerance for it. I understand, big picture, for this season, you're thinking that you're trying to win that game and keep your season alive, but you've had weeks and different series that I could point to where the team just fell short, and it was pretty obvious. It drove me crazy that Bryce Eldridge got pinch hit for with Wilmer Flores last night, and I understand the logical, we're trying to win the game, he gives us our best at bat, Bryce is struggling, but I just, for the life of me, I wanted to see the kid get the opportunity last night, Dave, and I'm frustrated because I want to see him get these opportunities, even if he is struggling right now. I acknowledge Wilmer probably gives him a better chance in the moment, but this kid's different, and I wanted him to get that shot, and I'm ticked he didn't.
Yeah, I understand that. And I think the directive from the front office has been, let this kid play and he can take at bats against left-handers. I don't think there's been any sort of mandate of like in a spot like that, you got to make a move. So I get your frustration. I think most of last night is about Wilmer. And, you know, Wilmer has been such a good Giant here for the last few years. He's so well respected down there. He's lost his spot this year in a lot of ways, and part of that is, you know, his body's kind of broken down. Should that be the overriding sentiment? Should that be the thing that makes the decision? You know, you could argue maybe not, but I do think part of it is just, hey, that's Wilmer. He's our guy, and so he deserves that opportunity. I don't think you should be like, there are struggles for Eldridge, but there are a lot of positives. And if there's ever a franchise in any sport that should understand this concept, it's the Giants. Willie Mays went 0 for 12 and 1 for 27 to start his career. Willie Mays, the greatest player of all time. Bryce Eldridge is going to be good. I'm more convinced of that now than I was 2 weeks ago. His at-bats have been more impressive than I thought they would be. You know, teams in AAA were really getting him. He was having a hard time in AAA, laying off the soft stuff down, all the off-speed stuff. He was just getting one after another, just junk balled in AAA. And he was striking out almost exclusively on that stuff. That has not been happening here. Now, he's been striking out some, but he's been way more disciplined to that pitch than I would have expected based on just all that stuff we were hearing. I'm really encouraged. There is a track record with Bryce. I know it's funny to say that when a guy is 20, but at every stop he's made, he has taken a couple weeks to kind of get adjusted and then typically takes off. And that's a very normal thing for a player. You almost just have to calibrate. It is, we sometimes use that term, it's kind of a throwaway term, level up. but it's actually true in this sport more than any other. Like, you got to level up. It's different here. And so I expect big things from Bryce. And I am more encouraged now after this little audition that wasn't really expected and only kind of came about because of Dom Smith's injury. I'm excited about his future.
Talking with Dave Fleming here on the Morning Rose, Giants broadcaster and our 95 Cent the Game Giants insider, as the Giants playoff hopes officially vanished yesterday with a loss to the Cardinals. All right, talking about Bryce Eldridge, can Giants fans slot him in next year? Game one, regular season, Dave, is Bryce Eldridge going to be the first baseman on this team?
I don't know that. I don't know. I mean, Devers and Eldridge together, my guess is, will be the combo. But I don't think it's 100% locked in. I mean, I think, you know, you got four more games here. That's silly to make a judgment based on that. But you get four more games. You get spring training next year. One thing Buster says, which I love about Buster, and every good executive does this, but you can have conviction, but you always reserve the right to change your mind. And you never know when a player, an opportunity comes up to get a different player, a veteran is out there for free and fits a spot, and maybe you give Bryce another couple months down at AAA to get some more experience. I think that's still a possibility, but his maturity level, the way that he looks, the way that he looks ready to be at this level, I think it's much more likely that he'll be on the big league roster at the start of next year.
You know, last year there was a couple week stretch for Tyler Fitzgerald, and I was enamored, and I thought he earned an opportunity to get the first crack this year, and obviously he underperformed, and it just it didn't materialize. Ryan Walker, same thing. He was dominant down the stretch last year, and then he gets the chance to start as the closer and you know, lost his spot and then got it back. And so how much of these success or failures that you see over the last couple of months, like Pat Bailey or Jung-Hoo Lee over these last couple months, how much of it is real? How much should I think can carry over to next year? And how much should I kind of just not blow off, but just be skeptical of? I struggle with this every year, it feels like.
Yeah, you should. I mean, it makes this sport hard. It makes evaluating this sport hard. You know, it's probably not the answer you're hoping for me to say, but I'd be skeptical about a lot of it. I mean, I just would. The nature of this sport is like the guys who really establish themselves are rare. And to me, that was the power of acquiring Devers. Because whatever you think about Rafi Devers, and Devers is, look, he's you know, he's not a perfect player. He isn't. He's not the all-around, you know, sort of going to help you win games in a ton of different ways. He still does swing and miss a lot and strike out a lot. But Rafi Devers is established as a high-level impact power hitter. And that's where that trade to me is like, it's just so hard to know, do we have a guy who's real or not? Is this going to last forever or for a long time? And with Devers, I think you just kind of know that. And so there's a comfort in the certainty of that. And a lot of the other guys you're, I think, talking about or thinking about are, you know, in that other category. So it's up to them to prove that they have, you know, sustainability. But you also can't, the hardest part about being a baseball executive is you can't live that way. You still have to give these guys some runway and opportunity, because the upside, the when you hit on one of them is so great. Like when you find somebody, when you're patient and you give a player opportunity and then they turn into one of those guys, that can change your whole franchise. So you just have to, you know, you gotta be patient in that way, with the understanding that our patience may not ultimately pay off. It might.
You know, you're a big sports fan, Dave. Last night, a whole photo shoot and video and all this stuff came out of Zion Williamson, and he's lost all this weight in a good way, and he looks the healthiest and the most chiseled that he's looked, he said, since high school, which was, like, you know, kind of mind-blowing. We remember, obviously, the Camp Panda stuff, and I just wonder about Rafi Devers and maybe what the ownership or the front office might ask of him this offseason. could there be a scenario where they have said, hey, if you can get yourself into better shape, we would put you somewhere else on the diamond outside of first base in DH? Or do you think that's out the window completely?
I think just the presence of Chapman sort of closes that door. I don't think it's that the Giants would be opposed to that. I think the Giants have been actually really impressed by Rafi's natural athleticism. You know, you see him last night turn that double play in the first inning. It's like, man, that looks good. He does some things on the field that show that feel for the game and that natural athleticism that has obviously been there. Buster's line to me always is, you don't fake seven big league years at third base.
Yes.
You don't, you know, you don't, that doesn't just happen because you like fooled somebody. 7 years as a third baseman, like that takes a high level of defensive ability and athleticism, even if the metrics aren't, you know, great with how Devers was playing over there. You just can't pretend that you're a ball player and get 7 years of third base out of it.
Is second base out of the question, Dave? Like, because it's just a thought. I've thought about, hey, if he can maybe lose some weight, I know you got to move and you got to have the strong arm. And I just wonder if that is even in the cards. Have they thought about that? I know it sounds like a long shot. I'm just curious.
I think it's an excellent question. I do. I think you're thinking the right way. Like, how do we get our best team out on the field? Like,
exactly.
How do we get our best players on the field at the same time? And there is a little bit of an awkward, you know, the Eldridge Devers thing is not a perfect fit. It just isn't. But I think that's where you probably just have to, I think the Giants, we've been chasing defense in this franchise for the last how many years? And I do think, like, the idea that could he do it? Yeah, I think he could do it. Is that going to be your best defensive team out there? I think the Giants do have to prioritize, you know, not just talk about it, really do it. So I think that makes it a little less likely. I think it's a good question you ask overall. And that's the kind of thinking that helps you make you a better team. And it'd be interesting to see, like, Willie Adames and Devers both go back to the Dominican to live in the offseason. That's their permanent sort of offseason home. Be interesting if those two get together, if Adames helps Devers, you know, sort of come up with an offseason program where the two of them push each other a little bit. I think that's a possibility. I think the Giants might lean on Adames to help that. I think this team overall, that's easy for me to say. I'm sitting in a sweatshirt in my kitchen. But I think this team overall needs a better commitment to conditioning and physicality. And the Giants are getting there. Like, they have some bigger, stronger guys now. But they're, you know, that to me is sort of a low-hanging, almost free area of improvement where this team can be more dedicated to their conditioning work. They can be more dedicated to their strength training and get some gains that way. And I hope somebody is there to push a lot of these players, because you can unlock some extra performance that way. And I don't look around that room and think, oh, everybody in here is, I'm not calling anybody out individually, but I don't see a group collectively that's just crushing the conditioning and strength training the way that some teams and some athletes I observe elsewhere are doing. I think this team could improve that way.
You know, that kind of brings me to Elliot Ramos. I've been thinking long and hard about him, and this is going to sound contradictory. I'm so blown away that he's been able to have the back-to-back years that he has, thinking that this team was a week away from DFAing him. That being said, what he brings to the table might be redundant given the contracts you have on the infield and what their skill set is. A lot of home runs and strikeouts. And that's kind of what Ramos has been this year, as many home base hits as he has strikeouts. And the defense is I think it's an area that he needs to really work on. I find him to be an interesting guy this offseason. If you were going to send him into the offseason with a kind of a to-do list, what would that look like?
Yeah, he's kind of a litmus test for how you see things at this level. do you see players and see their flaws, or do you see players and see their strengths? Because he has both. The Giants must, to me, like arguably the number one priority, there are two or three of them, but the number one priority this offseason for the Giants, you got to catch more fly balls. You absolutely must be a better defensive outfield next year than you were this year. That really cost the Giants, probably cost the Giants a playoff spot. I know that sounds extreme, but their outfield defense was not good enough, and it needs to be better. And Elliott, I mean, I think Elliott takes ownership. Like, he knows. You've heard some of his comments. You know, there were a couple plays in September where after the game he said, I got to be better. It's, you know, and so Elliott knows that. Here's the thing that's hard to decide. Like, are you a person who thinks, you know what, we can help this guy get better. He's a good athlete. We can help him get, or this is who he is, and he just doesn't have the instincts for it, and that he's going to be a flawed defensive player. And, you know, I mean, I hope that the Giants are the kind of organization that really, truly believes we can help get this guy improved in that way, because he does bring so much else. It's not just, you know, the numbers are there, but Elliott's just a positive. The guy works his tail off. He is one of the hardest workers down there. Like, he's putting in the time in every aspect. Cares about being a good player. Cares about his teammates. Elliott is what you want to have around, but, you know, you really do have to find a way to connect with him. And I think there's a possibility that maybe left field, you know, I would love to look at Elliott in right field and see how that looks. I think sometimes players, you know, Elliott had been a center fielder and a right fielder mostly, and there can be something about like a different side of the field and way your brain works and you see things. I would like for them to experiment a little bit. I actually would have liked that here in September without Yastrzemski, like to just see what it looked like. I think for me, that's what I would be pondering with Elliott. But I love the kid, and he is still a kid. He's one of the younger Giants players. You know, it just feels like he's been around forever, but he still can be he can get better. There's more there from Elliott.
Talking with Dave Fleming here on the Morning Roast, and we appreciate your time this morning, Dave. I did want to ask you about MLB adopting officially next year the Automated Balls and Strikes Challenge System, also known as the ABS. What do you make of that, and what do you make of Patrick Bailey's comments regarding the ABS?
Well, first, what do I make of it? It was inevitable. I mean, and this should be, everybody should admire this about baseball. Everybody. Baseball has spent, God knows how much money they have spent on this. Like, you think about the owners green lighting this project. Like, it would have been easy just to say, you know what? We have a contract with umpires. It's a part of the history of the game. We're just, the umpires are the umpires. That's what we're doing. Think about the millions, and I mean like tens of millions of dollars, to develop the technology, to incubate it, to roll it out in AAA, to install it in spring training, to hire people to evaluate the data. Like, they have spent a huge amount of money on this system. So it was inevitable. Like, when you do that, you're probably not going to just crumple the ball of paper and throw it away and say, good try, good shot. So the thing about this is it's also almost certainly inevitable that we're going to get to a point where all the balls and strikes get called on this. Because same principle applies to me. Like, you don't do all this and then not use the system. So there's a few things that make me nervous. The implementation of it is seamless. It's fast. It doesn't interrupt the game. There's even a little drama. You know, if you watch a tennis grand slam and like a player challenges in that moment where you zoom in on the court and it shows where the ball landed, there's like a little fun in that. You know, you lose some of the fun of sometimes it's just part of being a baseball fan to bellyache about the strike zone. And so maybe you could argue that you'll miss some of that. I don't know, but I think they have to think long and hard, and we'll talk about this in the off season more. I don't want to drone on about this, but the, the possibility of cheating is in play with this. If you're going to have a system where players get to challenge, you can just envision scenarios where there's somebody with the iPhone sitting somewhere and a quick, immediate signal when that box pops up. I'm not accusing my fellow broadcasters of anything. You could envision a scenario where up in the TV booth, you have the monitors that show the instantaneous ball strike called. And, you know, old Dave Fleming is up there and the guy down in the dugout knows that if I reach up with my right hand and do this, that means it was a bad call. You're going to have to really enforce the fact that, first of all, you're going to have to emphasize to everybody there's zero tolerance for that. This system is not in place for that. And if we find that you're doing something like this, consequences are going to be severe. And you really have to enforce the immediacy. Like, it can only be those three players, and it has to happen right away. Next spring training, the three of us are going to be talking about, there's going to be strategy, who's allowed to challenge, who's not allowed to challenge. Like, there's many, many layers to this, but make no mistake about where we're headed ultimately with all this technology.
Dave, you better not be wearing a wire.
Him and Jose Altuve.
I'm not like all of us who care about our teams, there's going to be temptations. There are.
Of course.
Can't let it happen.
Dave, I tell this story all the time. Back in the day, Baron Davis, backcourt, okay? Jim Barnett's between me and Joe. He's like 6 feet away. And he's like, the game is going on. He's broadcast. I love Jim Barnett for this. Baron, behind you on the broadcast as the guy's coming from behind to strip him in a playoff game in the first round. And it's one of my favorite moments of all time. Barnett yelling to Baron behind him. It's just, oh, God. Just chef's kiss. Jim Barnett, I love him dearly. So trust me, I get where you're going.
I love that story. Yeah, I love that. But that's going to be a part of the story of this. How do you prevent that from happening? Because there are a lot of ways where this could be manipulated.
And that's why I'm in total agreement with you. This is just a prelude for this to become full-time going forward.
Bro, I wanted it West Sunset. Let's get these 4-hour games, you know, for the youth players. Yeah. Let's get them down to an hour and a half, Dave.
If it's full on, by the way, well, I mean, yeah, I've had a lot of 4-hour days.
Oh, they're the worst.
The full on system would eliminate the possibility of cheating.
Exactly.
That the challenge system brings in the possibility of somebody helping you that shouldn't be. The full on system eliminates that. The players really didn't like the full-on system when it was in play in AAA. But I wonder if the challenge system gets honed and we get better and better with it, if ultimately the technology is so good that we can just go to it full-time.
They'll get over it. I mean, people were complaining about seatbelts once upon a time, and everyone had to deal with it. So there you go. Hey, Dave,
yeah,
we appreciate it.
I think the complaints were more that you'd get some buggy calls. And the full strike zone was strange. Like, it just wasn't what, and that's another thing the league's going to have to do here. Are we redefining the strike zone? Are we taking this opportunity to really enforce the way it's written, or is the way it's written flawed and we're going to hone that in a little bit? Like, that's, you know, those are tough questions to answer here, and tough questions in the league's office. But I think those were more the complaints as opposed to, like, you know, something aesthetic or something else.
Got you. We really appreciate the time this morning.
Dave,
you've been the best all season long. We'll do it again next week. Put a bow on the season, obviously. The season's not over. Just the playoff season for the Giants is. Dave, good stuff, man.
I'll talk to you guys next week.
There he goes. Dave Fleming, courtesy of River Islands.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.